Invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as we've been continuing going through several messages dealing with Jesus is the strong man. Jesus is the strong man. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." And as we've mentioned in time past, what is the them? Well, the spirits that are not of God, the prophets that proclaim such doctrine, such teaching, that is a spirit that goes out. Ye have overcome them. Why and how? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so dealing with this subject, as many of us maybe have said in times past, or we hear it said even today, the devil made me do it, or the devil got in me, or the devil is working on my mind. Some that believe that dreams that the Lord's people have is the great working of Satan in their sleep. We want to have clear understanding about these things as the children of God, that we might know how these things work and how it is within us. And we've seen in the scriptures how when the Lord saves a sinner, when the Lord casts out demons from those as evidence in the scriptures, they are relieved of such. And the devil has no access, Satan has no access to the spirit of man, the soul of man from within. There he is a character, a person to be dealt with and had the right understanding about him. He does go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is interested in nothing but the death of mankind, saved or unsaved. He hates man, and man being made in the image and likeness of God wants nothing more than the destruction of man. He wants the testimony of the children of God destroyed. But this verse, it tells us, greater is he that is in you, not greater is he of those that are in you, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we know Satan is the prince and the power of the air, seemingly in that he's been given an assignment by God, and he is failing in it indeed. As I believe it says in Isaiah, he has destroyed his land and killed his people. And so what we want to do this morning, and I propose to you in these messages and given for consideration about the access of Satan to the hearts, to the souls, to the minds of the children of God, that cannot be spiritually as it is the Lord living in us, that Satan no longer has that access. And we've looked at many, many things, but this morning what we want to look at is this, that we do as the children of God have to deal with. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I think a passage that speaks to us greatly, taking a brother that we would not know as a brother except for brother Peter, and by the Spirit of God declaring unto us that this man is just. This man is with the Lord today because he is justified by the Lord. Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly. The Lord made a judgment regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, that sodomy and lesbianism and that perverseness amongst mankind is wicked before an abomination before God. And that judgment still stands. In the midst of this is this man Lot and his family, the nephew of brother Abraham. And he says here in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, as in justified. And the word doesn't mean only, but he's a son of God. He's saved. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And remember that word conversation in the scripture speaks to us about what people think, what you and I think, what we say, and what we do. That is our conversation in this world. Delivered just Lot, saved Lot, justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Listen, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. That's what we want to focus upon this morning. Seeing and hearing. The Lord doesn't tell us that Lot dealt with the leadership of Satan from within and Satan's oppression within him inside spiritually as the Lord Jesus lives within us. And I find that troubling to express, but Jesus, the Spirit of God, lives within you and me. As he told us in the passages in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that once the strong man enters in, there's no room for any other. So within, the Lord living within, there is no room for any other to dwell within the child of God. But we can be affected by this of the ear gate and the eye gate. Again, the scripture doesn't tell us that Lot had spiritual wrestlings within by the oppression. You know, we have this picture that's promoted in cartoons when I was a child of a little white angel on your shoulder and the little black angel on your shoulder. For the child of God, the Spirit of God is living within. And we have our own depravity, our own sinfulness in this flesh that remains. That indeed can impact us. And certainly what does impact us, even without even our realizing it at times, is what we see and what we hear. And so this passage, I believe, makes that clear. Brother Lot had gone a long, long way away from the Lord, from the day that he walked and was with his uncle, having lived those years with him and had that witness and testimony of the Lord that he evidently had received. The Lord makes that clear unto us. But the ear gate, the eye gate, is that by which you and I indeed can be vexed. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That aspect of what they did. Their wickedness before God and the sodomy that was at hand and their attitude and their way, their despising of the way of the Lord. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Brothers and sisters, again, I present to you the thought and the idea. Satan is indeed there, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is a marketing expert, having 6,000 years of practice and pursuit in that. But in our walk with our Lord as the children of God, our greatest problem is ourselves. It's our flesh. It's our old man. Paul said he didn't lay anything off on Satan, and we'll touch on this in time. But he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And so let us have understanding. There is this aspect also that we want to take. And we are this way naturally, that if I can take and lay the blame off on anybody else about my lack of obedience and performance, obedience is the better word to use. If I can lay it off on somebody else, even on Satan, I've justified myself. Our problem is us. Satan is a real character and he wants nothing but our demise and destruction. He cannot touch our soul. He can touch our bodies if the Lord wills. That is evident in the scriptures and very plain. But he does not have access within unless we allow him. Remember, the scripture tells us, we'll be reminded, resist the devil and he will flee from us. That's what our Lord tells us. So here in this, as we consider this portion of scripture, this word vexed is speaking about to torture, to be in pain, to toil and torment and toss. And why is it that a man, why is it that a woman can be vexed so? Why is there that of hearing and seeing that can bring this vexation upon a child of God? What is that? Well, we'll see. We will see here in time. The eye gate. The eye gate. Let's consider about the eye. To the thought, having sight, the thought of being blind is just a terrifying thing to us, isn't it? We operate daily. I take my sight so for granted. And for it to be that all things would be red or all things would be dark for the rest of my life, we just fear that, don't we? We want to avoid such a thought of that because being able to see is a glorious and wonderful thing, isn't it? It is. I mean, it's really something about and the miracle and the marvel of the eye. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 22, listen, child of God, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't look upon the evil. Don't look upon the evil that's being done. And understand, men, we work in the world. We are exposed unto the wicked. The Lord has not called us to be taken out of the world, but to be separate from the world. And it happens that we see evil and wicked things. We desire for our wives and for our children to be protected. And that's an element of being a husband and a father, that we go out into the wicked world to earn a living and to be able to support our family, our wives and our children. We have that exposure, but we need to stay away from as much of it as we can. It's just a reality that men are exposed to such. But listen, we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. This appearance is a view, the shape of it, the sight of it. So listen, child of God, what is it that you watch? What is it that you look at? What is it that you consider and take and look at in that? Because all that we look at, isn't it amazing how much we can remember of our past? It comes in through the eye gate, and this miraculous work of the Lord in creating us and our brains and our conscience and all of this, we retain a lot of filth, don't we? We can retain a lot of what we have seen, and we need to abstain from that. Listen, don't put within you, young people, don't put within you that which you'll have to carry for years and decades. It will vex you. It will torment you if you want to be right before your Lord. In Psalm 101, verse number 3, the psalmist declares, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I tell you what, there's a lot of way. You can't drive down the road. You can't drive down the road. The billboards, the advertisements, maybe watching a show or watching something that you like. And then what is interjected in there? All the commercials, all the filth. What's a woman with no clothes on have to do with selling tires? It's the vexation. It's the working of Satan and the wickedness of the world. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He declares, he desires. I hate the work of them that turn aside. See, that's what it is, the wicked thing. Is that looking to glorify God, the wicked thing, the appearance of the wickedness of the world? Is that looking to edify? Is that looking to bring closer to the Lord? No. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, he declares. It shall not cleave to me. But listen, things that I saw when I was a child, things that I saw as a boy, and things that I saw as a young man, they cleave to me this day. And I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to lose my mind, but I tell you what, they torment me, they plague me. And I tell you that you might avoid such. in Matthew chapter 6. Let's take a look here. Matthew 6, verse number 19. It took me years to understand the import of this passage. There's a parallel passage in Luke that we'll read through also. But listen to this in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Matthew 6, 19, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And how is it that the heart is aimed? How is it that the heart is directed towards this earth treasure store or this heavenly treasure store? The light of the body is the eye. The light of the body. What is it that the apostle declares unto us about what we're to think about? And what we think about, we look at, we enjoy. Good things from the Lord. That's part of the renewing of our mind that we need to be in pursuit of. The light of the body is the eye. That of the whole, the person is affected by the light that comes through the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, how is it that the eye can be singled? It's focused upon Christ and the good things of Christ in life and in the world that we're to be about, not the wickedness. Not wickedness and sin and the pornographic and the licentious and that. Not on the evil works of men. If our eye be single upon our Lord and those things that please Him, those things that are holy and good, thy whole body shall be full of light. Remember, when the Lord saved us, we've been brought from darkness to light. You and I, being saved, we know what sin is. When we were not saved, we didn't know what sin was. We had no capacity to understand the terribleness of sin, that sin is against God. But now, being the children of light, we can have understanding about what sin is, what transgression is against our Lord. And the eye is a source of light for the body. But if thine eye be evil, verse 23, if we look upon the evil and upon the wicked, upon the things that are against God, against Christ, as we saw before, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore, if therefore the light that be in there be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? For the child of God, the fellowship between the child and the Father, between the Lord Jesus and the child, the fellowship is wedged. It's being pushed apart. For the wicked, for those that are unsaved and unrepentant and unbelieving, they just go on in their sin and their wickedness, just filling up the measure, as the scripture says. By what we see, by what we look at, how great is that darkness? Listen, it's delineated here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You and I cannot serve God and mammon. We can't dabble in our sin and look to serve our Lord well. We need to put sin away from us, from our eyes. May God help us. In Luke 11, verse 33 through 36, we read this quickly and understand maybe a little difference or some different wording here. Luke 11, verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, a picture painted for us here, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And we understand that and believe that to be the Lord's church, his kind of church, that they which come in may see the light. Let our light shine. We are the children of light. Now's the time to shine for him. The light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. What we see, it takes light for us to be able to see. And the light of the body is the eye, the Lord Jesus says. Therefore, when the eye is singly focused upon him, not putting any wicked thing before our face, looking to abstain from the appearance of evil. Just don't allow those images, that wickedness, to come into us. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. The body, the life, will not be ill affected by what we have not seen, what we've avoided. See, if you've not seen it. But see, aren't we very curious with our eyes? So curious. What's under there? What's in here? How many children have gone over here and opened this up? I've seen you do it. When I was your age, I did it too. What's in that seat? Got to know. What's in here, Brother Jim? What's in here? Got to be something good in there. See, our curiosity for the things that could potentially be wicked, it does us no good. It does us no good. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed. Take heed, therefore, that the light which be in thee be not darkness. In our understanding about light, that's kind of an odd way to express that which is regarding light. But what have we looked at? Take heed. Don't put wickedness and sinful things in our hearts, in our minds, by the eye gate. Satan is parading a multitude of things. He knows that different things ill affect others. He uses wicked men and the renown of the world to promote wicked things, put it on the billboard, put it in the media, put it everywhere, put it in the magazine, put it here, put it there, put it everywhere. The unregenerate, the unsaved, the unbelieving, he puts it in their hearts because they're not protected like the children of God are. Save for the protection of the Lord. To take and drag men down to the pit. Take heed, therefore, that the light which be in there be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, verse 36, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful for our wicked past and the images in our hearts and minds from the past, if that could just be erased? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, we maybe can't attain that, but you know, by thinking on the right things and looking at the right things and the Word of God, those things can be displaced some. May the Lord help us in it. Then we have in our verse this morning, it said, in seeing and hearing. The ear gate also is a great access to the heart and man of men. When we speak about hearing, this verse always comes to heart and mind in Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Listen to, beware of what we listen to. The fool in the scripture is the man that is unrepentant, unbelieving, denies God. No God is what he declares. No God. Don't listen to his songs. They're against God. The whole rock and roll movement is indeed a function of that. The song of fools, that their God is self and their music and drugs and illicitness. Don't listen to the song of fools. I used to listen to the song of fools. And you know what it did? It just fed my heart to the wicked, to the selfish, to the way that is natural. And we just don't need that. We certainly don't need that as the children of God. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 11. Well, I mean, does Conway Twitty and George Jones, you know, rock and roll music is not the only kind of music, but I mean, would we understand that Conway Twitty and George Jones sang edifying music that would help the child of God? No, just reminding about illicitness and adultery and fornication over and over and over again. You know, you tell a lie, Himmler said it, right? You tell a lie over and over again, people will start believing it. And that's the way we are. That's the way we are. Proverbs 10, verse number 11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. He can tell you some good things to hear. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. What we hear, to hear and listen to the wicked, violence has them all covered up. That's all they spew out is violence. Things against God, things against man and the life of man, the life that God's design for mankind. Violence covers them, and to listen to the wicked is no good. In Proverbs chapter 10, the same chapter, verse number 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable unto our Lord. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. It's the case in every respect, isn't it? The world says, children, you don't have to line up with your parents. Buck them, try them, do away with them. Matter of fact, the world says, divorce them, divorce your parents. It's too restrictive. You don't need parents. It's froward, isn't it, before the Lord. The world, the way of Satan, and that tells the man, you know what? You don't need to be chained down with a woman. To have a commitment to a woman, you just need to live. The Lord says to the woman, you don't need that old slob of a man. Just go ahead and live. Live whatever comes to your heart and mind. We don't need to listen to that. We don't need to listen to that. The education system in our country has taken untold numbers of our children and promoted them in this state thinking and state way that we are in our mess as we are in our country. Young people in this day, young people in general in this day, they don't understand about liberty. They don't understand about the freedom that we have. They don't understand. It's just like lemmings running over the cliff to just turn over the freedoms that we have. That's just one example. One example. In Proverbs chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, again, this of the ear gate, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. We've talked about this regarding abortion and how I've never seen it like I have here in recent times, to my shame. But if they are able to kill the most innocent amongst our societies and nation, the rest do not matter. They'll kill whomever they wish. They'll put to death whoever they wish. If they can take the innocent and do away with them. And that's a spirit. That's a prophecy. That is a doctrine that goes out from the world. We do not need to listen to such wickedness. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. See, the ear gate and the eye gate is yet the opportunity for wickedness and sinfulness to come into us. And as it is there with Ananias and Sapphira, we know they were saved. We know that they were saved there in that first church. Why have you conceived to do such a thing? But see, they got to thinking about the accolades. They got to thinking about what all the praise that Brother Barnabas got. And they said, we want that too, but we don't want to give all the money, but we want the praise of giving all the money. And they lied to the Lord. They lied to the church. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God. In James chapter 1, we know this. We ought to read this often. May God help us. And what's it say here in James chapter 1 quickly? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes are scattered abroad, greeting. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Lord does try his children. He tries us. He proves us. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Lord, help me to understand. Give me wisdom. The Lord said, what are you doing here asking me for wisdom? Get out of here. The Lord doesn't do that, does he? He loves. He is worshiped when we go to him for our need. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave, like a wave that is... But let him that ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here you go. This is the reason I've read this passage at the first point. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We listen to the Lord and then we listen to the world. Then we listen to the Lord and we listen to the world. Listen to the Lord and listen to the world. Listen, I tell you what, listen to the Lord and forget about the world. And we'll not have this double-minded, this potential for double-mindedness within us. Listen to the Lord. He's faithful, as has been said. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. Our short time here, our weakness. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, a promise which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now this is different than the trying. This is the temptation of Satan. Through the ear gate, through the eye gate, for the depravity that remains within our flesh. Our new man rejoices in the Lord and desires the good things of the Lord. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The Lord will never try his children with some wicked thing. But Satan does. Listen. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That means the input into me and those things that are within me are potential enticement. If I take a look at the world, then what am I going to be potentially enticed to do? Disobey my Lord, sin against him. That's all the world knows. But if I just feed upon the Lord and have that input from him, not look to put any wicked thing before my eyes, not look to hear and listen to the wickedness of the way of the world, asking the Lord to help me for that wretchedness that is within, I'll be enticed to do well. You know, as we're given in the church to provoke one another to love and good works, that's a good thing. But not to provoke to sin. May God help us that we not be allow ourselves to be provoked to sin. He says here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desire and enticed by Satan through the eye gate, through the ear gate, through things of the world and of Satan in the past that we've been exposed to. And when lust hath conceived, when it brings forth its bud and its fruit, it bringeth forth sin. And that sin is against God. Our greatest problem, my greatest problem is me. And I've got a world of junk that's coming at me, but my greatest problem inside of me is me. That's the reason I need to decrease and the Lord increase. Amen? Isn't that what John said? I need to be filled with the Spirit and the way of the Lord and not filled with the things of the world and of the flesh. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, this is a result of wickedness that comes through these gates, the ear gate and the eye gate. Listen, remember what it says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know why we're told that? Because we can do it. The Holy Spirit of God's living within this tabernacle. And through the eye gate, through the ear gate, eye gate, I bring stuff in. What's that doing to the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God's very sensitive. The Spirit of God will not tolerate his work being attributed to Satan. Right? That's what happened when they accused the Lord Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the devil. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus says, he that does that, and that's a diabolical thing, you just can't stumble into that. People knowingly do so. Those fellows in that day that the Lord rebuked for such, they knowingly did so, attributing the work of the Spirit, Jesus casting out demons, to that of Satan. Because they said, by the power of Beelzebub, he cast out these demons. The Lord says, he that does so has never forgiveness. That's serious business. The Holy Spirit of God's sensitive. He lives within us, and then I take trash in and through my eye gate. What's that do to the Spirit of God? He's grieved. That's just getting started with the matter. He's grieved. It means this word grieve is to be sad. The Spirit of God within us is in heaviness, is sorrowful. That word grieve means that. What I listen to, contrary to the Lord and contrary to his way and his will for a child of God, for me, for you, I bring that, then the Spirit of God is grieved by wickedness that's brought within. He's grieved by it. Brother Jim, are you saying that the Spirit of God is weak? No, by no means is the Spirit of God weak. I mean, the Spirit of God moved to save our souls in an impossible situation. But now in this relationship and this walk that we have with our Lord, the Spirit of God is very tender within us. We're told not to grieve him because we can grieve him. And we have that responsibility to stay away with our eyes and our ears from those things that would do so. Remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 19, quench not the Spirit. This word quench means to extinguish, to go out. Brother Jim, are you saying we can lose the Spirit of God? No, we're sealed. The love of God is with us, for the saved is with us eternally. But that quenching, I think about the hot piece of metal, the work that is being done by the blacksmith or by the toolmaker, and they take that and they heat that up to harden it and to prepare it for the work that's going to be done by that material. And they take it and they stick it in the water and they stick it in the oil. That's what sin does. Sin within us, the ear gate and the eye gate, takes and quenches the Spirit, extinguishes its effect upon us. Because you know what we've done as the children? Pursuing after wickedness, listening after wickedness, watching and looking after wickedness. We've said we want that way rather than the way of the Lord. And so these things are very, very real. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try them, whether they be of God. As we look, is that of the Lord? How does that line up with the Lord's word? As we hear, how does that line up with what God has said, what our Lord has given us? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. False prophets, contrary to the way of Jesus. They promote things that are contrary to the way of Jesus. It's Antichrist. They show things contrary to Jesus. It's Antichrist. It's against the Lord. They say things contrary to the Lord. It's Antichrist. It's against the Lord. It's against his way. It's against his holiness. Try them. Weigh them. Weigh them against the word of God. We are of God, children of God, little children, we are of God and have overcome them. We have within us the ability to overcome by the power of God, not by our own power, by the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, asking for that wisdom, asking the Lord to displace the things that are within us, staying away from these things with the ear gate and the eye gate, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That of the world that we would take in through the eye, that in the world that we would take in through the ear. Don't let that, don't be duped. Don't let Don't let the thought come that, well, because he's greater, I can go ahead and take that in, dabble with it in my heart and mind, and he will overcome. Well, in the end, he will overcome because he'll take us on to be with him. But listen, our commodity of time that we can never regain, if I do such a thing and when I do such a thing, I've not redeemed the time for my Lord, have I? It's gone. I used it. Oh, yes, I'm internally secure, but I just piled up some more wood, hay, and stubble on the foundation, didn't I? By his power, we can resist those things, not look at it, not listen to it, and live for him. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.